Okay. Hey guys, it's David from HypotheticRL, and I'm joined by Richard. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks, David. Yourself?
I'm great. It's round two. It's season's starting to really kick off now, so we can get into what happened, what we just saw in round two, and then we can talk about round three team list that came out today. So really should put who the judges are on top of these. It's okay. You guys know who you are when you judge them. So our first game of the round was the Broncos and the Rabbitohs. And so for the Broncos, our judge gave Reece Walsh the three, Pat Carrigan the two, and Payne Haas the one, Cameron Murray the three, Kyle Matangi the two, and Latrell Mitchell the one. I think that's pretty fair enough. I'm pretty happy with those.
Yes, they're good choices.
Yep. I mean, there's not much you can really say. Okay, so for the next game, which was the Sharks against the Bulldogs, which was a lot tighter than I thought it was going to be. Three to
It's
Ritardo, I called him Ritardo. Three to Ronaldo Mulitalo. That's not right. Two to Nicho Hynes and one to Talakai. Not 6 points to Nicho Hynes as the Dally M's did. And for the Bulldogs, it was three to Blake Taff. One, three to Blake Taff, yeah. Two to Kikau and one to Josh Curran. I think that was your
Yeah,
game, wasn't it?
it was my game.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, I could have given 3 points to Kennedy, Talakai, Mulitalo, Hines, Brayley, Wilton. There were so many good players on the Sharks. It was really hard to sort of work out who was 3-2-1. And I could have rotated any one of those ones into any one of those positions almost and talked myself into it. For the Dogs, it was a bit more difficult. The Taff was the standout. Kikau had a really good game, and Josh Curran was great in attack in the first half and great in defence in the second half, even though he did have a stint on the bench. But he came off the bench early because of an injury. I think it was to Faamasuli, who just got concussion in the first, literally the first minute of the game, and that was that. But yeah, it was a really good showing by the Sharks across the board, with the Dogs showing some signs that they're. At least their left edge is looking dangerous.
Yeah, well, that's the part they want to attack through because that's where they've got all their strike players. But yeah, interesting. The only thing I know about this game is that it was playing on the radio as I was trying desperately to get my children McDonald's, but I didn't have any cash. So I had to go back home to get cash and then go back out. And then I was freaked out because I thought,
Didn't they have tap and go at the
no, there was a problem with McDonald's on Friday with certain McDonald's that they had no, that you could only pay in cash. You couldn't even do the online, you had to pay in cash. So yeah, anyway, I had to go back home to get cash, then go back out. Then I freaked out because I thought I would miss the next game, which I didn't want to miss. But I got there, so it's fine. And the
Can you
next
share your
game,
screen so I can see the votes, by the way?
oh yeah, that's cool. I can do that. Yeah, so the next game, how do I, where's the share? Share screen and share that. You see that?
Yes, I can. That's much better.
So yeah, that's a lot better. Now you can actually see what I'm talking about. I was much more professional in the second week, not the third week. Okay, so the next game, which became a non-contest about 2 minutes in, actually we didn't do the turning points of those first two, did we?
No,
Do you want to talk about the turning point of the Canterbury Sharks game?
there were two. There was one where the referee decided to get in the way of Bill Kickow, who would have just stormed over whoever he was running at, Blake Taff, and would have just sorry at Kennedy, and would have just scored. And that was a big moment because that would have put the Dogs. I don't know if it brought them level or put them in the lead. It was a big moment, but the real turning point was, I think, about 15 to go. Hutch completely just balls it and drops the ball. They don't score the Sharks for the next set. It does go down the other end, but from that ensuing, from the turnover there with 13 minutes to go, the Sharks rolled through their tackles and they get to Hines, who's about at the halfway line. He runs and he gives it to Wilton, who flicks a back pass off to Talakai, who kicks. Mulitalo kicks it again and then runs through it and scores. And that took the score. I think that was 18-6. And that was really, once that happened, the Dogs were just gone. They had no chance.
Yeah, no, fair enough.
But there was
So,
only 13 minutes to go, so the Dogs were in it for a long, long time.
oh yeah. I remember, as I said, I was listening to it on the radio, and I was like, "How is this still so close? I don't understand." So our judge for the first game gave us a couple of different turning points. It was the Cobbo line break into the Walsh dropout in the 49th minute, Payne Haas coming back on, and the bounce of the ball dudding Luttrell. So I think the game was over when the bounce of the ball happened. So I think maybe one of the other two don't. I mean, Haas coming back on is a bit of a. He's just a really good player,
And
but.
the other one's in about the 45th minute. So a Haas
Yeah.
coming back on was, yeah, look, it was about the 60 something minute when Walsh scored in that 63rd minute, and then from there they didn't look like they were troubled, did they?
Yeah,
It was
no.
18 it was 18-16 to the Rabbits, wasn't it? Or 18-20. It was very
Something like
close.
that. Yeah.
Very, very close. And then the Broncos scored three tries in 12 minutes, and yeah, just
Yep.
blew them apart.
Yep, pretty much. So let's move on to the third game. We've got for the Panthers, Tango, Cleary, and Yeo, and for the Eels, Dylan Brown, Hopgood, and Gutherson. So I'm fine with those. I think that makes sense. I mean, I feel like Tango's basically was playing against the back rower the whole game. So, it's kind of like running at thin air a lot there. So, but he did do really well.
Yeah, the who went off injured for the
Simonson. So Bailey Simonson
yeah
went off
once he
in
went
the
off
second minute.
that to me was a bit of a turning point,
Well, that
and
was
because you
minute, that was minute number two, and we're at number three.
and Parramatta are not exactly flush with centres at the moment.
You can tell me
I
that. I
don't
know
know what
that
they
one.
didn't get from Stacey and Yossi.
So we'll get to that when we get to the team list because we'll see what they've done. But yeah, Bailey Simonson gets hit high. I think it was Luai. They get the penalty, but and on report and everything, but no sin bin. But Simonson couldn't come back. So yeah, they basically moved a back rower out to try and defend out there. I have heard a few Parramatta fans not happy about it and sort of said why. Why did they put a back rower out there? Didn't have a lot on the bench, but they did have Brendan Hands. And I did say to someone else that probably the better option would have been to have Dylan Brown defend at centre and have Hands defend at the 5'8 role. But at least that way it kind of makes sense because Brendan Hands plays 5'8 as well. So it would be okay. Maybe attack-wise wouldn't have been as good, but you could have always brought Tuilagi on, like Kelmer on, and put him sort of in the. In attack, he could play the edge, and in defense, he could defend in the middle. It makes some sense, but yeah, I don't know. I just don't know why they went with that. It seemed a bit strange. Of all the players to put out there in the centers, I don't think he was the right one.
Yeah, look, I mean, Hands plays a little bit of hooker, and maybe they just remembered State of Origin last year and Damien Cook playing in the centres and just went, no, we don't want to do that. And just wanted to put a big body out there. But against those Penrith outside backs, you need absolute speed. You don't need size to defend those guys. You need an express train. You need someone really quick, quick on their
Now,
feet and quick with the wheels.
my argument for the turning point is I think that was way too early. And I think Parramatta, saying that was the turning point would mean that Parramatta were not in the game. And I feel like they were in the game the whole time. I think the turning point was actually also related to Kelmer Tuilagi is when he went for the big hit, he got knocked out, like he basically injured himself. And then Penrith got up and played the ball, and they let the play on. And then Yeo kicks that cross kick, and they score a try. So I think there at that point, if that game had stopped rather than allowing them to score that try, I think that was a big turning point because I think that's the one that got them more than a converted try ahead. So
Yeah.
I'd say that'd be my one. But everyone's entitled their
Again,
opinion.
Parramatta just keep troubling Penrith for long periods. And even if they did have a bit more speed out wide, then I think the result could well have been different. And they
Yep.
just seem to have a style that gets to Penrith sometimes. But yeah, you're always up against it
Yeah, of
with
course.
the backs.
And I'll just mention the fact that that was Jerome Luai with the big hit, and Jerome Luai tried to trip someone, two reports, and didn't get anything for it.
Yeah, it does, the It does seem sometimes that someone does the slightest of things and gets 10 minutes in the bin or gets sent off, and other people can sort of do something quite, obvious and just get a talking to, and they wander off and and allowed to play on. So it does confuse people sometimes.
Yeah, I just don't get that one. Okay, let's move on before I start ranting too much. The next game is was my game I judged. First game I judged for the year, so hopefully I did a good job. For the Raiders, I had Rapana, Strange, and Timoko, and for the West Tigers, I had Coruscal, Galvin, and Bolle. Rapana was well and truly the best player for Canberra. He was just an everywhere man. He was everything good that happened through him. If he hadn't been there, Ethan Strange would have got 3 points because he was also excellent. And then the third one, I know there was, I think we had a discussion, a few other people, and even the Dally M's seemed to think that Zach Hosking was really good. But I will point the fact that the one of the Tigers tries, he just completely misses someone. And he did it a few times, and his defense was not that great. I look at both sides of the ball a bit more than some people do. So I was a bit like,
Yeah,
look, he
he
probably
just
was
stood out
fourth.
with the ball in hand a few times, and you were like, "Wow, this person, this lad, he's just got it," And sometimes you don't. Maybe the other person standing next to him defending, it was his man, and he was on the other one, and yeah.
He did make a few bad misses. For the Tigers, I mean, Galvin came really close to getting the three. He was really good for a debut, and especially in a team that was beaten so easily. He did quite well. The third one, I wasn't sure who to give it to, and I liked the impact that Bolle had when he came on. So I gave him the 1 point. But realistically, no one really deserved a point for them. They were pretty abysmal. Turning point for that game. I honestly don't know what the turning point is. It could be the turning point is that try that Canberra scored where they tapped the ball and passed it back to the winger and he just ran around them. That kind of, to me, felt like that was the end of the Tigers doing anything in that game. But really, I mean, I was surprised they were even in the game. Like, Canberra kind of switched off for a little bit and let them score two tries. And then after that, it was just all Canberra. Like, it was just ridiculous how much they were on top.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember when I think that the Canberra's starting props, did they have a bench rotation in the middle? Is that when Papali'i went off?
Possibly, yeah, I'd have
He
to look at it again, but
had a
yeah, I think so.
dislocated finger, and they may have just pulled him off. And then the Tigers got a couple of quick tries. And one of the tries is a really nice move with a sort of in the way and a short ball and then straight through. And it was quite kind of clever. But once the Raiders got a lead, once the Tigers have scored those two tries, and you sort of went, oh, the Raiders sort of steadied themselves. And once they got that lead back and extended it just before half time, they scored what, two tries in the 10 minutes before half time after the Tigers had scored, and they were never troubled again from there.
Yeah, it was easy.
I think Strange is amazing. He's really kind of really surprised me pleasantly. Appy Coruscal for the Tigers was their usual very good. I think Papali'i for the Tigers, he didn't have a good game, but he had one of his better games for the Tigers, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I
He's been a
understand.
real disappointment since he went there, but he showed signs of actually being involved and doing something, and that's maybe Benji is sort of bringing him into the side. He went over 100 meters and made 32 tackles, and so he was involved. So that's a very good sign to see him being involved again for the Tigers, that maybe there's something they can build around there. But yeah, the Raiders were just too classy and 2 from 2 and leading the comp.
I know. It's good for them.
Absolutely. So everyone apart from me, who was tipping them for the wooden spoon at the beginning of the season.
I don't think that they're not that bad. They're quite a good side. So,
No, they're that, 7th to 10th kind of team. And they could even, last year they were what, one win away from they were in contention with the top four, even very late on last year. And people seem to forget that.
Yeah, well, it's because all the good sides all just decide not to play football for the last month of the season, but or maybe for a month of the season. Everyone on the teams that should have probably finished in the eight or finished higher all had a bad month, and so the Canberra is just consistently inconsistently okay, but they win games they shouldn't win, and that's what I think is the main thing for Canberra. That's why they end up where they are. And they do have a fairly easy draw this year, I think, too. So I'm expecting to finish in the eight, or very close to it. So we'll see what happens.
We'll
The
see.
next game we've got, should we name and shame the judge who hasn't given me his things yet? Probably
I
not.
think we should, yes.
So the Mr. Tiger of the Tiger Podcasting Network, hasn't get it to me yet. I did tell everyone before the start of the season, please get it to me before the end of Monday so they can put the numbers in. And he hasn't, but that's okay. We still love you. Just if you listen back to this and just get it back to me so that I can try and get it ready for next round. But yeah, look, the next game was the Cowboys and the Knights. It ended up a lot tighter than when I thought it was going to be.
It, again, one of those games where it wasn't classically great, but my God, it was engaging. It was, you were just on the edge of your seat the whole time. You didn't know what was going to happen. And I literally thought the Knights had this one wrapped up about 25 times, and they seemed to find ways to keep the Cowboys in it. And the Cowboys, just as the game wore on, you could see that they were just that bit more athletic in the middle, and they had a bit more of a spring in their step, and once the crowd got into it and started getting behind them, they bounced around a bit, and that final field goal, that was fantastic. That shot at goal, that was just in the moment, put it through, and the whole place just erupted. It was fantastic.
No, that's good. Well, I mean, there's not really a turning point because the game was right into contention. Probably the field goal that wins at the end is the turning point, but you can't really call a
Yeah,
turning point
it's
until the
that
last
getting
play.
down the getting to the right position and the field management and the game management and getting that field position, knowing who they have to send where at the right time when the game's on the line. Someone like Danny Cherry-Evans knows how to do that. Someone like Chad Townsend knows how to do that. So that was a good end to an excellent game or an entertaining game.
Okay, so let's talk about ends of games because this next one has an end of a game that I think everyone has seen at some point. Yeah, the Storm beating the Warriors. It was 3 points for Xavier Coates, might be just for the try. Ryan Papenhuyzen two and Eli Gatoa one, and then Metcalf got the three. Tua Pirkei got the two, and Tohu Harris got the one. Yeah, just insane, an insane put down. But we should expect this every week, I think, because this sort of stuff just happens over and over again now.
But there was an excellent try by DWZ earlier in the game, and that was such high quality, and you were like, oh wow, that's going to be on the highlight reel. And then very shortly afterwards, at the end of the game, you've got Coates doing Monty Python's flying circus into the corner of the pitch. I actually had to I was watching it back because I was interested in scoring it to see how I would have scored it, and I watched it back in the morning, and I called my wife in, who has no interest in rugby league whatsoever. And she sat there and watched it, and she said, my God, how do they do this? She was like, and then she said, look at the linesperson's face. And it was Casey Badger's face going, oh my God. That, yeah. So it was brilliant. What a fitting end to a game.
It's pretty good. Yeah, I did like that. I also love when a husband Gavin on his Twitter account goes, have someone look at you the way that Casey looks at this try. It was very good.
That was excellent.
That was so good. They're very, very good on social media, those two.
Yes.
Yeah, no, and I mean, for a turning point, I suppose it wasn't really that one try that was the turning point, but that game was tight the whole time. So it was really, I was kind of, the funny thing is like with my tipping, and we can talk about my unfortunate tipping as we go to the end of it with this last one. I was kind of like, obviously had the Cowboys, obviously had the Storm. So I was like, what's going on? Like, I could, first of all, I get one up with the Cowboys, I'm lucky. And then all of a sudden, the storm are behind, and I'm like, what's going on here? And then they get up, and I'm like, the fuck's going on? Like, it's both teams, like, really probably should have lost, but both of them get up, so it was really good for me.
The Warriors in this game, it's very similar to this game, I thought, to the Sharks Dogs, in that there was players across the board who deserve points, and I scored it completely differently. I put three completely different names. As if I'd have scored this game, I'd have chosen Adam Fanua-Blake, Sean Johnson, and Tuivasa-Sheck. But I don't disagree with the choices that were made, because Tuapiki and Harris and Metcalf all had excellent games, and DWZ as well. So there were probably seven players on that Warriors side who deserved it. Paps, I thought, was absolutely standout for the Storm. Hughes, Coates, and Katoa had a really, really good game in the back row. He was superb. I could probably have talked myself into giving Katoa the points instead of Coates, and giving him the one. But there was just good performances, both sides, attack and defense, fantastic game of rugby league, and this is what you want to see. And early in the season, you don't normally get such brilliant games early in the season,
We've
so
had some really good games. It's only been two rounds and we've had some excellent games. So it feels like some of these teams that were in around the middle of the table last year have all picked themselves up. And the ones that, like, these two finished top four last year. So this is third versus fourth from last year. And it was a really great game. And it looks like, I mean, maybe the quality in all these games wasn't great, but considering the games we had, I think we've had at least, two or three excellent games this weekend. So didn't have all of them really good. I mean, some of them were a bit stinky, but this one was okay. And next one is Manly against the Roosters. So it was scored as Olakau'atu getting the three, Paseka getting the two, and Lachlan Croker getting the one. And it was Tyrrell May with a three, Tedesco with the two, and Sia Wong with the one. That sounds pretty good to me. I think Tyrrell May was really good. So that makes sense.
Olakau'atu or Paseka, switch them around either way. I don't mind. The top three there are spot on for Manly. Croker is, he's quietly good. He's quietly good. And when he came in at number nine, everyone's like, ugh. And he's just proving people wrong. And week by week, he just gets it done. He seems to have built some good combinations with the players around him. And that he seems to have a good reading of what they want to do and when they want to do it. I'm Manly. Look, all the ball they had, Manly should have scored 70, really. But they pressured the they had played a high pressure game. They pressured the Roosters into mistakes, and once the Roosters had given up 75 fifth tackle set restarts and penalties, they just were so fatigued that they couldn't get out of their own way half the time. There was one ball time when even the bench player just was past the ball, stood there, and just dropped it on the floor. And you were like, what are you doing? And they were just exhausted, all of them. There wasn't one of them who was able to stand up straight. So be interesting to see if they can turn it around. But Manly at home, big crowd, entertaining, playing well, good combination in the halves, the hooker, the spine. The turbos are all, playing really well. Tommy is looks fit and healthy and fast. I don't know where Saab is with his injury, whether he's going to be back this year or if he's out long term, and
I'm
whether
not
they've
sure. Yeah, don't really know.
got. Oh, I can tell you he's back round seven, which is actually pretty good for them.
Okay. Yeah, it's not too bad.
And they got everyone's favourite Matthew Lodge coming back in round six. So that'll make Manly the most loved team in the competition once
They
more.
really will be, won't they? Okay, let's stop talking about Manly. Because some of my team's going to play him this weekend and I'm not too confident. Okay, so next one up is probably one of the games that was a bit stinker, was the Dolphins, who just won by so much was amazing. So the three for the Dolphins was Katoa, the Hammer got two, and Jeremy Marshall King got one. For the Dragons, it was Zach Lomax with three, Blake Laurie with two, and Jack DeBellin with one. But none of them will make a difference because they lost by 38 points. So that's going to be more than the magic number. So they'll all get zero anyway. But yeah, it's I don't know what to say about this one, apart from the fact that I had 7 from 7 walking into this, and I thought for some reason the Dragons would win. So,
I got 8 from 8 in my tips, which is the first in 3 years. And nobody listened to me about my tips the rest of the year because I'm not going to, it's such a rarity, it's not going to happen again. So I'm not going to make any predictions.
What was every home side one, didn't they?
Yes. And basically, I just picked all home teams. And so I got them all. Yeah, the Dragons were awful.
Yeah, not great at all.
And I mean, nothing pleases me more than the Dragons scoring nil and then all their players getting nil. And this is also just the icing on the cake, I suppose. But the Dolphins, it's good to see them after their really poor week one actually come back and say, no, that was a bit of an aberration. There's a bit more to us than that. Don't write us off. And at home in that little stadium with a partisan crowd. I mean, I've only got 3 games there, I think, this year. So the rest of their Brisbane games are at Suncorp. So maybe that'll count against them a little bit. But there's a lot to like about that team. If they can, they probably need a couple of more younger players in the middle of the park. They don't have much to come back. I mean, Ray Stone and Gust Gilbert, the biggest loss is out for the season. But yeah, if they can beat enough of the bottom teams consistently enough, if they finish 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, that'll be hard for them until they can get a couple more people in their squad.
Yeah, I think this year you just got to try and finish higher than you finished last year or around the same, and that's pretty good. That's the best they're going to do. I just want
Who's
to meet.
their fifth card in the Queensland Cup? Do you know?
I'm assuming it's the Redcliffe
Is
Dolphins.
it just themselves, or do they have multiple? Because I know that the Storm have got two or three,
They
and
might. They might have another one. I'm not sure who it is. I
are
thought
there
they
any
did have
young
another one.
talent?
Do they have the East Tigers or someone like that? There's someone, maybe I'm thinking the wrong team, but I think they might have two. But yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm interested to see if they've got any young sort of middles who are or back rowers, who will come through.
Don't know.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see. I just want to mention on the 52% that it's only myself, the guy I work with, and one other person who've got 0 out of 2 so far. So
That's excellent work.
it's not looking great. And can I also mention that in the first week I tipped against the Dragons and they won, and the second week I tipped for the Dragons and they lost. So I'm refusing to tip
Yes.
anything to do with the Dragons ever again.
Yeah, just keep well,
I'm
unless
staying
it's a
away
big
from them.
team, a good team playing against them,
Oh
if
no,
you
I'm
can pick
staying away from them the whole season. I don't think, because I only got to tip them once, don't you? So they're done now.
but they're a good punching bag if you can get them get
I don't.
teams who
I
are
do
high
not
up
trust it.
playing
I
against
just.
them.
I remember one year. What the year when I like won a footy tipping comp, and this has got to be like, it's like 10, 15 years ago, something ridiculous like that. And for some reason, I started tipping the Dragons from like round one, and they went on a massive streak and they won all their games. And then the last week that they won, like on this streak, I tipped against them and they lost. Oh, sorry, yeah, so I tipped against them and they lost. And then I kept tipping against them and they kept losing. And someone's like, "How come you know so much about the Dragons?" I'm like, "No, I just fluked it." Like, and I think out of all the tips, like 20 something games that they played, I think I only missed one or two. And like, if you can get a team correct 24 times, that's a massive, massive thing. So,
Yep.
but now I must be the opposite of that. I can't get it. I can't tip them properly. Anyway.
Well, there's only two people in the whole 52% comp who are on a full, who are, got the full card so far out of 2 rounds. And so you're not far behind.
I'm only two behind. It's all still to play for.
Absolutely. And yes, there were some shockers last year, so I've got one wrong, one right, so
Yep, that's all
I
right.
hope I get
I'm hoping to get one
past.
right this week. I think I might take Cronulla this week. I've got a feeling.
I am completely at odds. I'm trying to work out, do I take a bet on Canterbury against the Gold Coast? The Gold Coast coming off the bye, like I said last week, teams off the bye are notoriously appalling, and you've got to get a dog's tip in somewhere. So that could be one to take,
That's not bad.
or just go for the Storm at the Newcastle and
Yeah,
getting
but
away.
Newcastle won there last year too, so
Yeah, but
that's dangerous.
I went against the Dogs this week. Going against the Tigers, I can't pick the Sharks because I took the Sharks last week. So, yeah, it gets hard, and in our competition where you have to choose a different team each round for the first 12 rounds, it makes it even more difficult.
Well, I'm going for the Sharks because I've got to try and get a win. I just got to get one. I want to go off the I don't want to be 0-12. So I want to get one in the first 12. So we're going to go for it now because look, I like the West Tigers, but I don't give many hope to win many games this year. So okay. I think we'll just go through the top 15 we've got so far, but bear in mind that this does not include the points for the Cowboys or the Knights players, so this might change. But at the moment in the Hyper EMs, Xavier Coates is number one. Olakau'atu is number two. Tedesco is three. Nico Hines is fourth. Then it's Rapana, Mulitalo, Metcalf, Fogarty, Reece Walsh, and Payne Haas in the top 10. And then it's Dylan Brown, Valentine Holmes. So Valentine Holmes might go up because he might get some points. Tungo, Latrell Mitchell, and Adam Fanua-Blake. So, look, Coates being on the top, it's because he's got 3 points twice in a row, and his team won both games. So it's probably that's the reason. But yeah, I don't think that's too bad. That makes some sense.
Yeah, I think there's some sense there. It's very much favouring halves and backs. I'm good to see some Olakau'atu and a couple of the others in there. Payne Haas representing the forwards. So yeah.
So what I'm going to do now, look, if we lose this call, we'll come back and we'll do it later. I think we've got a couple of minutes. We'll jump back in, but oh, hold on. There it is. I'm going to pull up the team list and let's have it. We start having a chat about round three because there's been interesting things have happened in round three. Can you see that screen?
Yep, and I've got the same on my screen at home as
Awesome.
well.
That's okay. I don't think there's any surprises with the Panthers against the Broncos. I'm pretty much they might both be they're pretty much 1-17 from last week or pretty close to it. I think they are.
Jock Madden at 7.
Oh, Jock Madden. Oh, sorry. I didn't even notice that. Adam Reynolds isn't playing. So Adam Reynolds got dropped or Adam Reynolds is
Adam Reynolds had a. Did he have a concussion or did he have another injury? He's had an injury. He's
Knee
got.
injury brings okay. So
Yeah.
fair enough. Oh, okay. Sorry, I didn't notice it. Maybe I should read these names a bit better before I say there's no changes because that's a pretty damn big change.
Yeah, his return is to be confirmed. They haven't put any kind of time frame on his coming back either, Adam Reynolds.
Yeah. Look, I keep underestimating the Broncos, but I really don't think that they're going to be able to beat Penrith in
Well,
Penrith.
Payne Haas has been named, and I know he was under a cloud after last week. And Fish is not there for the Panthers, so they may have an advantage in the middle. And last year it was last year in that opening game of the season, that crazy game down at Penrith, where the Broncos got off to a flying start to the season, actually beat Penrith in Penrith.
They did.
And which was a surprise to everybody after how far back they were the year before. But so I don't know. My head is going to go Panthers, but I would not be at all surprised with the streak.
Yeah, so sorry, we got to the end of that call, but you were saying, wouldn't be surprised if the Broncos turned up again and did the same, or?
Well, they've got the speed out wide. It's people like Cobbo and Mariner and Walsh to create problems. And I know Penrith's got that speed as well. I think that losing Reynolds might just be the difference maker. I think that might be just what puts it back in favour of Penrith. But I wouldn't be surprised if there's an upset here. How the bench is used, it will be really important.
Yeah, no. Look, I've been accused many times of underrating Brisbane, but I just don't think that Brisbane are as good as they were. I realistically think that they're going to really struggle against Penrith. But look, Penrith should have won round one as well. So doesn't really, they were troubled by a team missing their winger. They pretty much got away with that one because they had a target to go for. Maybe Brisbane don't give them that same target. So yeah, it could possibly be a bit of an issue for them to try and score points against Brisbane and outscore Brisbane, because it looks like they're gonna throw the ball around. They're quite an exciting team. So yeah, we'll see what
Yeah.
happens.
If Painhouse doesn't play, then it'll be absolutely Penrith's day.
Yeah, I think so too. Okay, so next one is the Warriors against the Raiders. Now, I have no idea what's going to happen because the Raiders could be anything. And the Warriors have got to win a game eventually. So this is one that I think if you really wanted to take the Warriors, you'd take them. But then who knows? Who knows with Canberra? Canberra is the most inconsistent side in terms of what I think they can do and what they actually do. So yeah, I don't know. What do you think?
Madness say hello to chaos. Chaos say hello to madness. I think that's what this game will be. This is just, you've got crazy thing, the potential for craziness to explode all over the park. And it's going to be absolutely, you will not be able to tear your eyes away from it. I do not know what's going to happen. It's a toss of a coin, I think, to tip, but I'm hoping the Warriors get off to a start and get some points because they've been better than none from two. They have not deserved that at all.
Of course, yeah. I think this is the kind of game where Hudson Young goes for a field goal to win the game and it bounces off the post and Adam Fanua-Blake runs 90 meters and scores under the posts. Do you know what I mean? Like
Oh, yeah,
that's the kind of game this could
absolutely.
be. It could be
Or
anything
Bunty
in this game.
Afarakat picks up five people and carry them across the line and.
Who knows? Yeah, like a few little changes. Nothing that I'd be too worried about for either side, but yeah, we'll see what happens with that one. I've been pretty impressed with Morgan Smithies. He was good last week, he was good the week before. And obviously Hosking was good, although he's now dropped back to the bench for Whitehead. Should be interesting to see how they use him. And then, yeah, who knows? Who knows what happens? Okay, now the next one is the one that everyone looks forward to every year. The Roosters and the Rabbitohs. Let's see if we can get a clean contest, boys.
No, we don't want.
Now they've gone with, so the Roosters have made a big change. They've gone with Senn and Smith at 5'8", obviously for Keary. I heard, what was that? Was he out because someone got dropped? Was that, or was that
No,
not happening?
he's got concussion protocols,
Oh,
and
okay. I was thinking, I think I'm
he's
thinking of someone
got
else.
innocuous. He did get what looked to be at first an innocuous knock, and then he was just all over the show. And you really, really worry for him because you sort of go, oh, okay. But who got dropped was Siu Wong,
Ah, that's
who
what it
went
was.
back. He was in the back row and he's gone to the reserves. But that's because we've got Connor Watson and Angus Crichton coming back in. So there's some big names arriving back. And then they've got to fit in Terrell May and White as well. And White was superb against Manly. He's a goer, that one. But Sandon Smith, who was playing that bench role, will now come in to 5'8", and Connor Watson will fill the utility position at 14.
Okay. Yeah, fair enough. Just asking for a friend, is Billy Smith available to play in blue and gold this weekend?
Yeah, Billy Smith is back. He's actually fit for round three. He's been named in the reserves, and Michael Jennings has been named in the reserves as well. That's a very strange one. That's not that can't be the same Michael Jennings.
I think it is. I think it might be. Didn't he got past his drug ban? I think the Roosters signed him, didn't they? Am I thinking the wrong thing? I think it might be.
No, I think you're right, but I thought he would just be like not even in the squad. But okay, you can have Michael Jennings and Billy Smith.
No, we don't want Michael Jennings anymore. It's fine.
Yeah,
It's okay. We're over that now.
Billy Smith is like, I'm surprised. Look, he's sticking around the Roosters. He signed another deal to extend, but if he was a little bit less biscuity, I think someone else would have jumped in with, and grabbed him. But I think with Sualii going at the end of the year,
And they're talking about Manu might
Marnie
go
wants to go
to,
in. Yeah,
yeah,
Marnie might
so.
go as well. And Daniel Tupou is about 175 years old. But I think that Billy Smith is just going, well, I'm young enough. I'm going to back myself. I'm going to stay.
So for the Rabbitohs, this is where I got confused between which person's halfback was gone. It was Lachlan Elias got dropped for Dean Hawkins. So
He
could
did.
be very interesting. Dean
Yeah,
Hawkins
I
not a
think
great record in
Elias.
first grade, but you know that's because he always coming back in last minute. Maybe give him a chance; he might be quite good.
He could be. He could. You never know. I think Lachlan Elias needs to spend some time. There are young players who come into first grade and then in the spotlight, and the game moves at a million miles an hour, and they just struggle. They don't develop their game properly. And you see it with players who go over to England and come back better, and players that can go back to reserves, spend a bit of time there and come back and just learn their craft a bit, learn their game and be better. And I think if Ilias is in the reserves here, but if they can get him into the lower grades and get him playing, get his confidence up, if Dean Hawkins doesn't work, if Dean Hawkins works out, then brilliant. They've masterstroke. If Dean Hawkins doesn't work out, then I think Lachlan Elias can come back with a bit more confidence and a bit more about learn a little bit of his game away from the glare of the NRL. Interesting to see Jack Whiten in the centres, and which means that Richie Kennar is out. And yeah, they look a little bit better at the back now, don't they? So.
Yeah, I think that looks a lot better. Well, the back five looks a lot better than it was. Interesting again, this is the third week, if he runs on to start, that the third week they've had a different front rower run on for them, because they had in the first week they had Sean Kepi, and the second week they started Shaq Mitchell, and now they're going to start Davey Mo'ali. So I don't know what Tom Burch has done to anyone, but he doesn't get to start. But
I
yeah.
think Tom is a little bit like myself. He's English and old, and I think the bench is probably the best place for him to go. He does good things when he comes on, and he plays well in short stints, and he's a great player, and it's nice to still see a Burgess playing for South, isn't it?
Yeah, fair enough. Okay, well, yeah, I suppose that's that game. The next one is the one you're toying with putting a tip on the Bulldogs. So it's the Bulldogs and the Titans.
Pure insanity. Why not?
Well, I mean they've kept Drew Hutchison at halfback. I'm not sure why.
Okay,
And Jamin Salmon's
that
gone back to
might sway
13
me.
again. What's that?
That might sway me not
Yeah.
to go.
It's not great. I mean, Liam Knight gets a start, which is great. I mean it's a pretty solid team. It's not terrible. And then we've got the Titans. Who knows what we're gonna get from the Titans, but they did name Kieran Foran, so that could make a big difference if he plays. And yeah, look, I like their forward pack, but I'm not so set on Jamin Jolliffe as a lock, but I like their forward pack. They've got a good side. I just don't know whether they're going to pull out something better than round one. So we'll have to see what happens there.
I don't mind Jolliffe actually, but There's a they who else do they have there in that lock forward? I mean, Isaac Liu is very old. Aaron Clark is too small, bless his cotton socks. I don't think I think that Jolly's probably their
Oh yeah,
best bet.
probably. I'm just saying in terms of quality of the of those of that kind of 5'8", well, not 5'8", that kind of lock roll. I just don't think he's quite there. But you know,
I
it's
haven't seen
something.
enough of Cleese Haas to work out whether he's good or not.
Yeah.
But Bofa, Martino, Mo, they've got some power forwards. It's just their bench worries me. I actually think the Dogs bench looks stronger. And I'm amazed Josh Curran hasn't started at lock because he really just should be their 13
Yeah,
starting
I don't know
person.
what they're doing with Jamin Salmon, but he's still there, so
Well, it's
yeah.
that whole thing. I think they're trying to fit him into that hole because they're like saying, well, okay, we can bring Josh Curran on as a back rower to give some people a rest or play him in the middle a little bit and as a prop. And you've got Kurt Mann as your 14 who comes on and does a wonderful job at times. So yeah, I think they've just got like they've been suffered from signing too many players the same and trying to fit them all in the side.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, next one is the Dragons against the Cowboys, so it'll be the ghost of tackling against a team who got out of jail last week. I don't know what to think about. Like I said, I don't know what to think about the Dragons. You can say what you want, but yeah, look, it's a side. I like some interesting ins and outs there. So they've got Jack DeBellin playing prop, Leilua Lua starting, and then they've got Jesse Marschke and NRL debut because of Jacob Little being out. But yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure what to do with him. And then for the Cowboys, obviously Fifi'i Fiaki gets a start because they've lost Helium Lukey. And I think that's pretty much the only change. Still got Kyle Felt on that wing, so you know,
Yeah,
old and new still together.
he's still serviceable though. He still surprises people, doesn't he, Carvell? He just keeps going, and he's got some skills. So I know he's old, but
I just don't know why they don't go with Simi Valame. I feel like Simi Valame had a good season last year, and I'd put him out there. Over Kyle Felt, I'd put him out there for sure.
yeah, maybe they're just going to give Carvell the first 10 weeks, and if he starts to show his age a bit, then bring Valame into the squad as you can only keep up a bit of youth for a while, but as the season's long, I think they might just rest Felt for 3 or 4 weeks and bring Valame in and then switch them in and out as they go down the season to keep them both fresh and get a bit of speed at times as well. So
Yeah, no,
yeah.
that definitely right. Okay, so next one we've got the West Tigers against the Sharks. I mean, they get Justin Olam, which is great for them. They're going to start Aiden Caesar, which I think is a much better move than Jaden Sullivan, of course, who goes back to the bench. And they're starting Fanua Bolle instead of Seifarth. Everything else looks pretty much the same.
Who's the number three, Solomona Vatape? Did he
He played
play?
last week. He was on debut last week, young fella.
Zombie.
Yeah,
Okay.
so he had a pretty good game, like as much as you can. He was matching up against Timoko, so. Probably not going to be
Mustafa
the
Tower's
best.
gone. Was he injured or was he just they
Don't
decided just to
know.
not?
Let's have a look. Stafford Tower. Doesn't even
Think it may.
say. Does not even say. I'm not sure. I really like Stafford Tower. I don't know what it is about him. I
Yeah, but
have.
he there was a bit of a highway down through the center positions last week
Yeah.
in defense of the Tigers. And especially early, the Raiders went down that side where he was defending on two or three occasions, and they just gave them all sorts of trouble. So maybe they're just deciding, okay, we'll try Olam out there to see if defensively he can shut down. But I really don't see how they're going to shut down the likes of Mulitalo and Ramion and Katoa
Yeah,
and
that
Kent.
Sharks back line is just way too good
Oh
for the
my God.
West
It's
Tigers.
It's brilliant. And Cam McInnes keeps turning in excellent performances. And I don't know whether the Dragons let him go. That was a madness decision,
It
but
was
he's.
crazy. And they let him go with a year to go too, and then they needed him. I don't get it. Yeah, I don't think there's any the Sharks team. I mean, Jack Williams starting in the back row there. I'm not sure about that one, but see what happens. But yeah, I mean, there's not much really else you can put in there. But yeah, all right. I think there's a few Sharks fans that are. I know one in particular, one of our fellow judges, that's a big booster of Kyleero. So he might, they might be a bit
Is that
upset about
Tony
what he said.
Iroh's boy?
Think so. Pretty sure it is. Or
I
Kevin
hope so.
Iroh's boy, maybe one of them.
Yeah, could be.
I think it is. He's definitely a relative. As far as I know, he's a relative. All right.
That's pretty pleasing to see
Next
names
one.
come up.
Yeah. Next one is the Eels against the Seagulls. So the Eels have decided that they're going to move Morgan Harper to the wing, and they're going to start Blaise Talangi, who I think is an Australian schoolboy. Yeah, I think it's way, way too early for him to play in first grade. It's worries me, but you know, when you have a look, there's not much else there.
Yeah, I don't know the name Blaze. I think he should be in some. Should be one of those people, one of the girlfriends in Legally Blonde. Is that
Well, okay, so just to break it down for people who don't know a lot about Parramatta in the lower grades, your options were to bring in Hayes Dunster, or as I like to call him, the ghost of Hayes Dunster. He has never recovered from when he got that hip drop put on him and he did the ACL a few years ago. He's just never been the same. And it's been a real shame because he had a real promise. And
he
it
has some
happened in a
talent.
preseason game and he lost his whole season. But he's still playing New South Wales Cup. You've got Isaac Lumi-Lumi, so I'm glad that didn't happen. And then in your centres, well, not I don't know what happened last week, but the week before, the very first week, you had a guy who was released by the Eels to go to train and trial with the West Tigers, then came back because he didn't get a contract. And we also had Zach Sini, who, you know, is a name that people know because he played for the West Tigers for I don't know for 5 weeks and was like a bit of a cult hero. But I
He
mean.
had one good game and was then awful. So
Yeah,
yeah.
tries hard, plays
Well, let's
okay.
say he struggled. Let's say, yeah.
But that's basically what you had. And then they had Blaise Talangi was playing fullback. So I'm not sure if that's how they lined up last week because I didn't actually watch the lower grade game last week because it was at Penrith. And I was, like I said, trying to get McDonald's at the same time. But yeah, it's, I don't know. I just feel it's too early. I just feel it's way, way too early for a kid to come into first grade playing centre, especially against, you know, this kind of Manly side that he's up against. But you know, we'll see what happens. He might brain it and he might be brilliant and it might be a masterstroke putting him in there and he might never come out of the side again. So we'll
Well,
see what
Tommy
happens.
Talau has been replaced by the world's most insane human being in
Yeah.
Raymond Vega.
Ray Vega.
So Ray Vega will either knock three people into next week and score a hat trick, or he'll brain somebody and get sent off within 5 seconds and give you a massive advantage.
Yeah.
So.
Interesting. So there's a couple of interesting things that have happened on the bench too. Like, so Luca Moretti gets a go. Brendan Hands drops out into the reserves. So it seems like they've made the decision. Joey Lussick's the 80-minute hooker. And yeah, they're going to go with four forwards on the bench. I'm surprised that Tuilagi is there because I thought that he had done himself a big injury last week. But yeah, he's been named. So I'm not sure whether that's Ducks and Drakes or whether he's actually going to play, but yeah, that's what's happening there. And then the return of,
He's done his. That's Kelma Tuilagi, right? Yeah, he's injured his shoulder, and he's to be confirmed whether he's going to come back or not. So
yeah, okay,
that does look like a bit of ducks and drakes.
it does. So maybe Hands will come back on that bench there, or they pick someone else. I don't know who else. I mean, it might be Wurundjeri Greig. Because I feel like they might try that. Moretti's a bit of a smaller. He's still sort of plays middle. He's a bit smaller. Madison can play edge and middle. Offhand Goey might start again. And I think they might go with Greig because then
Yeah.
that's just going to be all power all the time. So that might be where they think they've got them. Because you've got to come up against Paseka, I mean, Alloway, I'm not worried about, but Paseka is a pretty big human, so they might think they need to do something. They might try and win the middle or something. Interesting, Nathan Brown making his return to Parramatta Stadium to act like a psychotic again. We'll see what happens with that, but yeah, I don't know.
Nathan Brown and Ray Vega both go completely insane. Anything can happen.
Yeah, this it could be a big problem. It could be a big problem for everyone. And so our last game for the round, I don't want to talk about that anymore. The last game for the round is the Knights against the Storm. Yeah, look, I think interesting Jack Cogger at seven. I didn't see the game last week. Who did Jack Cogger start at seven last week?
I thought he was hosting.
Jackson Hastings has been dropped.
Yeah, it does look that way.
Yeah,
And
so Jackson Hastings has been dropped. So they've started with Cogger, Thompson, Frizzell, Kypis Paul, Elliott, Brayley Safi. Yeah, they've dropped him. They've dropped him down to the reserves. Jed Cartwright's going to play in the interchange bench. And then we've got Melbourne, looks pretty much the same. The great halfback five combination of Jonah Pezet and Tyron Wishart. There's
it's
some
a combination for the ages, isn't it, really?
there's some names. There's some sons of players there. And then you've got, yeah, look, and then there's Joe Chan. There's another son of a 90s player. Yeah, interesting.
Where
Tupou
is Hughes?
Maroa back.
Is that a
I
concussion? Because he
think
looked like he was he's stung at the end, wasn't he?
he got suspended from the game last week because I
Ah,
remember
that's
Jay in the
right.
thing was saying, I don't think that's fair. So you know
Yes.
what? Taking Melbourne this week is a bit fraught. I feel like
It is.
I
That's
feel like
changed my mind
the Knights
completely.
might
That
be a
does
good
change my
pick to try and get one out of
saying
the
off that.
Storm.
Oh, I might just have to go with the dogs.
Yeah, probably. I actually had a, you know how we do the 52%? I actually had a really interesting thought the other day, and I was chatting with Nick from the office, the other guy who's joined the 52%. And I said it'd be a bit hard to work out, so you would have to wait till the end of the season. But could you imagine if you did a tipping comp where you tip a te like you tip the team? I gave him one that I was saying like you everyone gets one of the 17 teams, right? And then you've got to
Yep.
just all you got to do is choose that week if they're going to win or lose. So you get a point from them. If you get it correct, you get a point. And if you get
Yeah.
it incorrect, you don't get the point. But if the other person also gets the result of the game correct, you share the points with them. So say I get the Knights and you get the Storm, then
So you go head to head with somebody else.
yeah. So if I get the Knights and you get the Storm and the Knights are my team and I say they're going to win and you say the Storm are going to lose and that's the result, we both get half a point. But if we both say that and it's the other result, we get nothing. But if I say the Knights win and you say the Knights are going to win, sorry, I say the Knights win and you say the Storm are going to win and I want to win, then you get the 1 point.
Yeah,
It's
there's so many things you can
convoluted, but it would work.
yeah.
I also reckon that it would be an interesting thing, and you'd have to wait to the end of the season. But if you, whenever you tip a result, if a team beats the other team, you end up at the end of the season, you give them the points of where they finish on the position on the ladder, and you're trying to score lowest points. So every time you pick a correct result of a team that gets beaten, so say it's Knights and Storm finish second, then you get 2 points if you tipped against the Storm and they lost. It's very convoluted. It's very hyper M's of me, but I just thought there's some real good concepts here.
Yeah,
Anyway.
well, I do enjoy the 52%, and keeping working out how to do the spreadsheet every week is certainly keeping my brain ticking over. So.
Well, I mean, if you want to see spreadsheets, you've seen part of my spreadsheet for the HyperMs.
Yes.
It's I just today just went in there because I was just trying to work out. I can probably share it with you, but there's a little thing called game intensity, right? And so what it does is each round I put in for both teams in a game, I put in their time of possession, their completions, their run meters, their line breaks, their tackle breaks, the average test distance, the play the ball speed, and the tackle efficiency. And then what it does is it ranks how competitive and how good they were. So it adds the two numbers and so basically, if it say tackle efficiency, if you have two teams with about 85% each, that game will be ranked lower than two teams that have about 90 each. But if you have a game
Yes.
where one's 90 and one's 80, then that game will be worse because the disparity is the word I'm
Yeah.
trying to go for. The disparity will be much bigger. So it works off the how much the disparity is, but if the result's close by how much, like how good they are. It just basically gives another little 10% on top for like really good games. So this round, which is really interesting, by doing it that way, it seems to think that the most intense game or the best game of the round was actually the Sharks and the Bulldogs.
Oh, okay.
And then it says Storm Warriors is the second best game. And then it says, which is weird, it says the Dolphins and Dragons. That's why I've been playing with it, because I don't think that's right. But
No.
their tackle efficiencies were really high. They both had almost 90% tackle efficiency. They had really decent play the ball speeds. But yeah, look, I'm still playing with it, so I think there's probably a little bit to play with there, but I'm gonna keep playing with that, and hopefully I can get to a point where, because I ideally think that if I asked you to name the best game of the round, like the most highest quality of the game of the round, we probably would. I feel like the Storm Warriors might be the highest quality game of the round.
Yes.
So, yeah.
I get the feeling that you will be the one person in the country who will be able to explain to me how the VB hard-earned index works.
No, because they make shit up.
Okay, that's fair enough.
I think it's based on tackles and efficiencies, and that's also based on how many hit ups they do. Because it seems
Yeah,
to be
me.
forwards are really good at it. So it feels like it's
Yeah.
someone who makes a lot of tackles and a lot of
Yeah, it is. It's
like run
tackles
meters. I think it's got to do with tackles
and
and
hit
run
ups.
meters. But no one knows how it works. It's like something in the internet that they've just made up, and all of a sudden it's a thing. So,
How to get a beer sponsor onto the screen.
oh, exactly. Well, that's how it
That's what
works. It's a beer
it
sponsor.
is.
All good. All right. Well, I think we might be done. And we'll look forward to next week. I know you're not judging next week, but if you want to jump back on next week, we might do this again.
Fantastic. I look forward to it.
All right. Perfect. Thanks, Richard.
Thanks, David. Have a great night.
You too.